Who are you? What makes you tick? Why do you like the things you like or do the things you do? Like many 20-somethings, our guest today was searching for answers to these questions. Well, let's be honest, like all of us, that's still a work in progress. But one thing's for sure, her struggle around her identity, and especially the parts of herself she didn't like, diminished when she began reconnecting with something she'd strayed away from, Christian Science. Here's college senior Julia Shuck to tell us what happened.
There was a lot that I questioned. I think everybody kind of goes through it, especially, you know, I'm in my early 20s. I think that's definitely a big time for everyone where they're really searching for their identity, searching for something to kind of grab onto. And so I think I really struggled with a lot of negative traits that seemed to come forward about myself. I really struggled with, why am I this way? Why do I do things the way that I do? What about you, Jenny?
Yeah, I remember that, especially with a group of friends that I had in college, because I felt like I was like the most sensitive one in the group. And oftentimes they would have one response to something and I would have a completely different response. And I mean, I love these friends, but they would definitely make fun of me for it. And that was definitely one of the questions that set me on the path of trying to learn more about myself, kind of what makes me tick, why I am the way I am. And for me personally, that was primarily a journey of faith. But I will say that, you know, like at one point there was a big trend of like personality tests and stuff like that. I definitely at different times explored and was sort of like, does this help me understand?
Yeah, definitely. I, being Generation Z, I guess you could call it, astrology became very big, you know, towards the end of my high school years, this, you know, start of my college years. And a lot of my friends really got into astrology. And at the time, I wasn't fully practicing Christian Science. And so I definitely was interested in astrology. I liked, you know, a lot of the ideas that astrology presented. I felt like I was able to easily connect with people that I didn't know by sharing my star signs, being able to say, I'm a Virgo, and them saying, I'm a Taurus, we're totally compatible. And so I did start to, you know, search for my identity there in astrology. And unfortunately, I really didn't feel satisfied. And I know that, you know, different things work for different people. But for me personally, it wasn't really cutting it. There was something that I was yearning for still in terms of searching for my identity that I just, you know, I think everybody goes through it, but it just, astrology really wasn't satisfying that need for me. And one thing that became very common during my, you know, search for identity was I became very anxious and I would have panic attacks, you know, probably a couple times a day. It was a very exhausting way to live. And I kind of just didn't want to live that way. But I kept telling myself, you know, this is who I am. I'm a very anxious person, you know, and anxiety is kind of a difficult thing to tackle for a lot of people, including myself. And I just wanted something to feel at peace about. I wanted to feel at peace with myself. I wanted to feel at peace with the way that I handle situations. I wanted to be better about handling situations, you know, because it just turned into anything that happened would turn into a panic attack.
Oh, wow.
And so it was a really, really difficult way to live. It was exhausting. And I just felt like I needed something to make me feel at peace about myself.
Do you feel like the panic attacks and anxiety were specifically coming out of, I mean, obviously a variety of circumstances were contributing, but do you feel like a big piece in that was just like not having a concrete sense of who you were or like not feeling happy with who you were?
Absolutely. I think it's definitely both. I didn't understand myself. I didn't understand, you know, and I think that's where, you know, that was also a result of a lot of self-deprecation, just not being okay with who I was. I didn't like the way I was responding to situations, but I was just doing it because it was the only, it had become so natural and normal for
me. Like a default almost.
Right. And I also just didn't like who I was. So I had a really hard time, you know, kind of pivoting that into, you know, what do I love about myself? What are things that people love about me? You know, why do my friends love me? Why does my family love me? You know, that was really hard to face and to be okay with finding things that I love about myself. Uh-huh. But the thing that really, really brought me into that was studying Christian Science again.
Mm.
And it's still such a journey. I feel like, you know, it's a almost never ending. But the peace that I felt when I understood where my identity is in Christian Science, who I am, you know, what Christian Science tells me I am, I think was really something that brought me peace.
Mm. I want to get into the specific ideas that helped you, but first, I think it might be useful to our listeners to understand a little more about what Christian Science is. And I guess for me, it's a way of thinking about our lives and who we really are that's based on the Bible. And it was discovered and written about by a woman named Mary Baker Eddy in a book called Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. And personally, I've learned so much from that book about what I'd call reality, you know, what's really true and real about each of us, that goes way beneath surface appearances and, you know, all the labels and limitations that the world puts on us. And I guess the thing I'd emphasize about it is that it's been really healing for me, and I mean, I think can be for anyone, because Christian Science puts things in a totally different framework. So rather than trying to work on myself as this human being and trying to bring God into my struggles to somehow, you know, fix or improve myself, it tells me that I'm actually this deeply loved and cherished daughter of God, and that my identity is really based on this spiritual and whole sense of myself. And that, in turn, I guess you could say, excludes or removes the stuff that isn't so good and really reveals this wholeness and this goodness that's already there. And I know everyone resonates with different aspects of Christian Science. So, Julia, what spoke to you and sort of helped turn the tide in terms of the way you were thinking about yourself?
Yeah, I think one thing that was very clear to me, just kind of in learning about what the Bible has to say. I don't like pull quotes because I'm not the kind of person, but
that's okay.
You know, in Genesis 1, God made us very good. And that was a foundation, this idea that, you know, God made all of his creation good, and that includes me. And that has no limitations in terms of that good. So there were a lot of things in Christian Science that, you know, helped me feel at peace about my identity. But the main aspect that really came to light was that I believe that God is good. And if God made me, then I am only good.
Mm.
And, you know, those traits, those negative traits that I was being told that I am, I didn't have to cling to those as a part of my identity. I didn't have to write those on my forehead and say, I'm so judgmental. You know, it made me feel like I am pure. I am good. Mm-hmm. You know, God mm-hmm. made me this way, and this is my identity. And because there is this acceptance of only good, I really felt like that started to give me a lot of peace about the person that I am. And I'm so grateful because they diminished greatly, and I have a way to address the panic attacks that brings me a lot of peace.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that it can sound a little bit ethereal or just sort of like abstract to say that God made us. So I love that you made the connection to God being good. And this is something that I love about the way Mary Baker Eddy talks about God, is that she gives God all these different names, you know, some of which come directly from the Bible and some of which came out of her prayers and, you know, her sort of asking God to show himself to her. But yeah, I know for me, in thinking about identity, it's been really helpful to go to those ideas about God that feel more concrete. you know, one name for God or synonym for God that I've always loved is soul, because it relates to, I always feel like it's like the art aspect of God, the creative side. And to, when you think about soul, like, I don't know, some of the words that I've thought of over the years are like the word shimmer, or, you know, that harmony or beauty. And when you start to realize that, okay, these are these attributes of God, and God is expressing all of creation, and that includes me, then I must naturally include those qualities, even if I don't necessarily believe that I do. It's like to have that foundation of being able to, I mean, I guess it's like a form of spiritual reasoning instead of this more like human reasoning or logic, but through this spiritual reasoning to be able to say, okay, if God really created me and God's being is the basis for my being or my identity, then anything we discover about God directly applies to us. And I think in some ways, especially if you have a positive sense of God, it's easy to see all the good stuff about God, but maybe harder to see the good stuff about ourselves. And so to understand that correlation, or the fact that, you know, we really are this like actual outcome or manifestation of God, is like, it just really opens up who we can be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think too, it really opens up the door for, you know, accepting the things that people love about you, you know, accepting that for yourself, because you know that that's something that is constant. That is something that doesn't go away or change or ebb and flow with time. That's something that is constant about you, that people love about you. And I think that's something that helped me feel at peace about myself and about the good things about myself, because for so long, all it was self-deprecating things that made me feel like I'm such a terrible person, or, you know, but being able to open the door and say, these are things that people love about me, and they're constant. They don't go away. They don't change. They're not, you know, because they're in God, and God is the source of all good things.
How has that changed, like, the way you live your life?
It's changed a lot of things, and I'm seeing it every single day. You know, every day is a new adventure, and I'm learning so much, and I still have so much to learn. But I think when I really let go of all of these negative things that I thought about myself, or that you know, other people put on me, that I'm judgmental, when I really let go of that and said, you know, I don't want to be that way, so I'm not going to be. Mm. That doesn't have to be a part of me. And it only is if I let it. Mm. And when I let that go and said, you know, I know that I am, you know, a loving, caring person. I know that I am, you know, these good things. It really changed the way that I responded to interactions in my life or conflicts in my life. Mm. You know, I felt that I was responding to friends and family in a more loving way. I was more welcoming of friends who needed a shoulder to cry on or an ear to listen to. You know, that judgment really went away because I knew I had that foundation of I am all of these good qualities that God made me to be. And so I, you know, that helped me respond in a loving way or in a less judgmental way, you know?
Yeah. For the negative stuff, I want to just put a point on this because I do think this is where the Christian Science perspective is a little bit different. So, like, what is the basis for you saying something like that?
I think through learning more about God, it was a declaration of freedom from something that wasn't mine in the first place, like something that wasn't a part of me in the first place because it was not made by God. It was, you know, God is not judgmental or stubborn or, you know,
anything bad.
Right, nothing bad. So understanding God and sort of his identity helped me understand my identity, the kind of person that I am, which can only be good. I am a good person. You know, it's important to address what the underlying issue is. And then from there, work to understand why it's not a part of you. And so that was really a big thing for me, was it's just a constant unfoldment of understanding who we are and why we are what we are through God.
Yeah, I've definitely had similar experiences. I mean, I think it's true. There is a degree to which we do have to call out the things about ourselves that we need to work on. You know, we can't just sweep them under the rug or pretend that they're not happening. But I think for me, a lot of the turning points have come as I've recognized, okay, this might sound like a funny way to say it, but it's almost like this behavior is like a piece of clothing that I put on that's too small. Like, it's not actually me. It may be something that I've unwittingly taken on or identified with in the past and not thought to challenge. But the moment I can recognize, like, A, it's not productive, so I don't really want anything to do with it anymore. I'm like ready to you know, shrug it off. And B, the fact that it isn't mine in the first place, because exactly as you articulated, it sounds so simple, but since God is good, if it's not good, it doesn't come from God. And so it doesn't, it literally has nothing behind it, you know, other than, I guess, the faith or belief that I've put in it for a time. And the moment I feel like I've woken up to that and really been able to, I think, be merciful with myself, not like get super, super down on myself and be like, why are you acting this way? Or why have you been this way? But to just go, oh, wow, duly noted, like, glad this came to my attention. And then, you know, just ask God for help in terms of, okay, how can I let this go? How can I really see that this is not part of me and it's not the way that I have to be? That's when I feel like I've been able to move forward from stuff.
Absolutely. Did you have like a specific experience where that really kind of shined through to you?
Yeah. Well, I can think of one example, which is I was known, like, legendary throughout elementary school, middle school, and high school for just crying at the drop of a hat. And at a certain point, I realized, like, that did not have to be my default response. And that, this is going to sound funny, but I realized that oftentimes, like, that having that reaction was really getting in the way of me contributing productively to a situation. And to me, prayer is really important, and prayer feels like such a key part of my life and is like integrated into so much of what I do. And I felt like, in a way, that I realized that crying was like kind of inhibiting me from having a prayer-based response instead that could be more constructive. And I don't really remember like a specific moment when it was just sort of like, okay, I can be a different way. But I think it was the recognition that this really wasn't me. This like reaction or kind of emotionalism was not really genuinely part of my identity. And I do remember thinking about certain qualities of God that I wanted to embrace more fully, like the idea of peace or equipoise or even just like compassion for the person on the other side. And I think as I really identified more with those qualities, it was easier to have a response that was more constructive. And it's funny, actually, I did have a situation recently where a friend said something that was like abrupt and hurtful. And I was funny. I was sitting there with a group of friends out on a patio, and I was just kind of sitting back in my chair going, wow, a couple years ago, I would have just burst into tears when she said that. And instead, I'm just sitting here and I'm thinking about why she would have said that and how she might be feeling that made her say that. And it was like, I just felt so grateful in that moment that I was able to respond in a totally different way.
That's awesome. I love that so much. And I had a similar moment in a different kind of way recently. I've always been told that I'm such a people pleaser, or, you know, the not so nice term of being a doormat. And, you know, that was something that I accepted about myself because I didn't think there was any other way for me to be.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, I'm the kind of person that's so nice, I won't tell someone if they're being, you know, mean to me, or I won't stand up for myself. And relatively recently, someone was very unkind to me, and I had this moment of, well, maybe, you know, I don't know what's going on in their life. And of course, I don't know what's going on in their life to respond in such an unkind way. And I should never respond out of, you know, anger or malice or anything. But I had this second moment where I kind of turned to God and said, do I say something or do I, you know, kind of like pick your battles kind of moment of, do I say something or do I just, you know, kind of step back and know that in my mind, know that they didn't mean what they said to me.
Yeah.
And I just had this feeling like, okay, I need to say something.
Oh, wow.
And I responded in a very kind way because it's the only way I know how to, honestly. And so I responded in a very, very kind manner and just said, you know, maybe next time think about the way that you speak to people.
Nice.
Because you just never know. And I was so proud of myself.
Yeah.
And I was so grateful because in understanding the root of the issue there, I was able to respond in a new way where, you know, I was expressing qualities of grace and strength and, you know, these things that I felt like I was lacking for literally my entire life.
Yeah.
And it was such a cool moment. And they ended up responding again in not such a kind way, but I was able to kind of exit the situation and, you know, and on top of that, I think this is a really important part is that I'm also the kind of person where if somebody honks at me, you know, when I'm driving on the road, I think about it for the rest of the day. It bothers me for the rest of the day. Like I can't let it go if someone's been unkind to me because I go out of my way to be kind to every person that I meet. Or see on the road. And so when this person was unkind to me, I exited the situation and I said, oh boy, I'm going to be thinking about this for the rest of the day and it's going to ruin my day. And I stopped myself and I said, it doesn't have to ruin anything.
Mm.
You know, I know that my identity is in God. I, you know, express these qualities that are good. And so does the person on the other end of that, regardless of, you know, what they're saying to me. And it was like a weight off my shoulders. And I didn't think about it for the rest of the day.
Oh, wow.
And it was just such a cool moment where I realized it was right for me to stand up for myself. It was right for me to express those qualities of strength and grace through telling someone they shouldn't speak to me in that manner. And I didn't have to have that affect me for the rest of the day. And I felt like that was a really, really cool moment for me.
I love that how it wasn't like a pre-programmed response because I know we all have those. And so to have that recognition, like, wait, I can do things differently. And to me, that is such a key part, I think, of what Christian Science has taught me is that we can always seek out different information through prayer or through listening to God because truly the one accurate source of information, because one of the names for God is truth, is this divine truth that gives us this solid, safe sense of ourselves and of others at any moment. And just sort of leapfrogging off of that, I want to just make sure we cover this one aspect of identity quickly. So the identity that we're talking about, I just want to clarify, is not like an exalted kind of mortal sense of identity or like, oh, I'm just a better human being now. But it's really this idea of a spiritual identity. And that's kind of a tough concept because I think it does feel, again, it's another word or phrase that feels somewhat abstract. But I wonder if you could say from your perspective, what does that mean to you to have a spiritual identity? Like, if you had to put that into words for someone, how would you describe that?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a difficult thing to put into words. It's a term I've grown up with, being, you know, that I grew up in Christian Science, and it's a term I struggled with, and especially when I started practicing Christian Science again. I think for me, spiritual identity is not based of external factors.
Okay.
Our identity is not based off of external anything. We can learn and grow from other people, of course, but that, you know, those external factors aren't concrete in the kind of person that we are. And so for me, a spiritual identity is an identity that rests in constant qualities that are good, because I would like to believe that, you know, good is our reality.
Nice. Yeah. And the word that popped into my head as you were saying that is unlimited or infinite. I think that's the aspect of it that I've really appreciated, that when something is spiritual, it's not bounded by circumstances, by opinions, by our own perceptions of ourselves, or, you know, the path that we've taken in our lives, but that there is just this like essential freedom to it that allows us, as you've shown with your examples and the things we've talked about today, that just allows us not to be boxed in by anything, but to be able to say, like, I can be every good quality expressed in any given situation. And yes, there may be times when it feels like we have to go to more work, you know, to incorporate those qualities into our lives. There may be times when we have to work through impediments to that, but that just at the core of everything is just this infinite array of qualities that we have the freedom to express.
Absolutely. And I think when, personally, in my experience, when I've relied on that, you know, on those infinite ideals, those constant qualities that I was learning about, that it just brought me a lot of peace that I hadn't felt in a long time. And so I think that that's something that it's worked for me, you know, to be able to, and again, it's a journey. Things are different every single day. You know, we don't hit a moment in our lives where everything is perfect and clicks into place and we never say or do anything bad ever again. It's just that we're able to recognize a little bit more. You know, we catch a bigger glimpse of ourselves through that.
Yeah. This has been a super fun conversation. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I had so much fun.
I've been speaking with Julia Shuck, a college senior at the University of Maryland in College Park, Maryland. And thanks for listening to Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Jenny Sawyer.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.